This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are marking 4 years of the COVID-19 pandemic on our program today. 4 years ago is when Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's first stay-home orders took effect, an event many of us will remember all our lives. Since then, well more than a million of our fellow Americans have died from COVID-19, and countless millions more have had the infection, some several times. But many months or even years later, some people are still fighting the virus and its symptoms. Post-acute sequelae of COVID-19, PASC, more commonly known as long COVID, can be one of the harshest effects of the pandemic. Complicating treatment of long COVID is the fact that it's different for everybody. Some might have an ongoing cough, others can barely get up in bed and have had their lives turned upside down by COVID. So for the rest of the program today, we wanted to shed light on what we're learning about long COVID and how it's still affecting people. With us for that is Dr. Douglas Casper. He's infectious disease specialist with OSF Healthcare and an associate professor of clinical medicine at the University of Illinois Chicago College of Medicine. That's actually in Peoria. Dr. Casper, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also with us is Dr. Vithya Sundaresan. She's a professor and chief of infectious diseases at the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine, also a medical advisor to the Sangamon County Department of Public Health. Part of her work at SIU Medicine involves treating long COVID patients. And of course, regular listeners of our program will know we've spoken with her many times throughout the pandemic. Dr. Sundaresan, thanks for making time for us again. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
And joining us today also are two of Dr. Sundaresan's patients at the clinic. In order to protect their privacy, they've asked we only use their first names. So Pam and David are both from Springfield. Welcome to both of you. Thank you for sharing your stories with us today.
It's an honor to be here.
Listeners, we also want to invite you to join our conversation at 800-222-9455, especially if you or someone you know has lived with long COVID. How has it affected you or them? Are we doing enough to help people dealing with long COVID? The number again is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Dr. Casper, I want to begin with you. How has our understanding of COVID, generally speaking, evolved since the early days of the pandemic?
Oh, significantly more medical knowledge. We have 4 years now of information about COVID. When we began in 2020, there was very little information outside of the genetic sequence of the virus. There was really little known about impact to health and what it would do with long-term health cares. And so while we've learned a lot, and certainly we have clinical trials that have been done, we have ongoing clinics that deal with the impact of COVID, there's certainly more that we are learning. And really, this people going through COVID, people post-COVID effects are the first cohort to ever experience these symptoms. And so we're learning on the fly from our patients and from our practices on what we've seen over the last 4 years.
Pam, I want to bring you into the conversation. Before we get to the long COVID part of your experience, can you just talk about your first experience with COVID-19? What do you remember about getting it?
I had just come back from a trip to Africa when I became ill. Just started with some upper respiratory symptoms, a fever. I had a pretty high fever. It was pretty good, for about 4 days, typical cold symptoms. But then I had a week of GI symptoms, which I couldn't eat for almost a week. And that's the only time I've had COVID, fortunately, although I have many friends that have had it multiple times.
Was this early on in the pandemic or midway?
No. Actually, mine was toward the end.
Oh.
A lot of our members of our support group have had it since the beginning of the pandemic, but I had a later onset.
And David, same question to you. What was your initial experience of getting COVID-19?
I got it 4 years ago on March 13th.
And you, March, Yeah, March 13th. I did hear that. Your signal's breaking up a little. We'll try and press forward and reconnect another way if we need to. But you said you got it March 13th. Boy, that was the very early days before we were asked. Yeah,
that was the day that the national emergency was declared.
Yes, it was. And was it a bad course of illness for you, or did it just seem like a cold? How did you experience that initially?
It lasted about a month. A few days into it, it hit my lungs real bad. I had bad bronchitis, not pneumonia. I wasn't hospitalized, but just no energy for a month.
Okay. Thank you both for sharing that. Dr. Vithya Zundaration, I want to bring you into the conversation now. When did you start to realize in the course of the pandemic that there was going to be a need for not just sort of acute care of COVID patients, but this would be a longer term disease for some people?
We started seeing reports of this as early as November of 2020, that there are some components of the illness which are long lasting beyond just the acute illness that people face with COVID. So we started looking into it. The earlier report said about 25 to 30% of people with COVID will have symptoms that are either continuing or they're new or returning symptoms. CDC did a good job of putting those numbers out and consistently looking at those numbers to see what exactly the prevalence is. We started thinking about having some sort of a clinic for people with long-term symptoms as early as February and March of 2021. And we were able to finally accomplish that and get something going in September of 2021.
Now, of course, long COVID is different for everybody, and there are many different forms it can take. So I want to ask Pam and David, each of you in turn, about what your experience of long COVID has been. And Pam, I will start with you.
Well, the same as David mentioned, I had a lot of fatigue. It's like after you have the flu and you just feel draggy, but it just never went away. This fatigue, which is hard to explain to people, but it just feels like you're walking in heavy gravity. It's like walking through water all the time, and you're just feeling like you're dragging, and everything, just daily routines can be exhausting. I mean, getting dressed and eating breakfast wears me out sometimes. Other problems that we all seem to experience related to brain fog, too. I just can't think clearly, particularly in the early stages. We were talking about how to describe it, and it's like trying to see through a fog while you're thinking through a fog, and you can't stay on track. And it's hard to even remember how to do simple things that you always did. We all have sleep problems too. Mine started with only being able to sleep about 2 hours at a stretch. I'd sleep for 2 hours and I'd be up, and I'd sleep for 2 hours and I'd be up, never feeling rested. Other times I couldn't get to sleep at all. Would end up then sleeping for 12 hours after that. You know, it's hard to function at your job when you're struggling with all of that.
David, what about you? I wonder what there resonates with you and what you might experience that's been different from that.
A lot of it is very similar. Extreme fatigue, brain fog, muscle and joint pain, gastric issues. There's just some food I can't eat now. I get tinnitus, irritability, and depression. And then the taste and smell comes and goes. What's maybe different about mine is it's very episodic. I get extreme episodes every few weeks that last 2 to 4 weeks, and then I'm a little better for a few weeks, and it just happens over and over again for 4 years.
Well, thank you both again for sharing your experiences with us. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking with people who have been experiencing long COVID, as well as physicians who have been treating patients with long COVID, people whose symptoms continue weeks, months, or even years after their initial infection. We're 4 years into this pandemic and still learning about this disease. Our guests today are Pam and David from Springfield. We're not using their last names out of respect for their privacy. We're also speaking with Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, who is a chief of infectious diseases at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield, and Dr. Douglas Casper, an infectious disease specialist with OSF Healthcare and an associate professor of clinical medicine at the University of Illinois Chicago College of Medicine in Peoria. And Dr. Casper, let me ask you, what do we know? What have we learned about long COVID specifically that we didn't know in those early days and in months and in year even of the pandemic?
Yeah, it's interesting when you listen to patient perspectives, how individual the symptoms are, but there seem to be some commonalities regard to, you know, sleep disturbances, neurologic disturbances, and then physical pain. And what these all, we think what these all tie to are the complexities of the human immune system. And so with any virus that we are humans are exposed to, part of the recovery period is our immune system recognizing the virus and then creating a response to clear the virus from our system. And it seems with COVID that there are some aberrant immune responses that occur, and they seem to produce these wide variety of symptoms that the patients have reported today. And now these immune responses generally are very helpful. These are normal physiologic responses that are meant to get us back to feeling better. But something about COVID seems to trigger a longer response or an aberrant response that requires us to consider it differently than we're used to how we experience common cold or influenza or other things that are much more seasonal and common in our population.
Dr. Sundaresan, I wonder, you know, sort of what's the flip side of that question? We've learned so much about long COVID. What don't we know still? What seems to be holding us back from coming up with more effective treatments or maybe permanent treatments for this disease?
Yeah, we continue to understand the pathogenesis, the pathophysiology, like what Dr. Casper was mentioning. The immune system is such a mysterious system, and we still have to understand the extent of what we have in our arsenal for treatment and what we don't have. Unfortunately, with post-COVID, this can be multi-systemic. There can be more than one mechanism for the pathogenesis or how post-COVID symptoms are presenting. And the pharmacological treatments that we have are limited for particularly neurologic symptoms like brain fog or, you know, the fatigue. They are seeing some similarity between myalgic encephalitis, sometimes also referred to as chronic fatigue. They're looking at similarities for that. We're discovering a lot of things now in terms of phenotypic or how the cells respond or what similarities there are in terms of the response and the mechanisms of how these diseases are caused. So I think once we fully understand that, we would be able to have more treatments which are effective. And I think Dr. Casper mentioned this earlier too. We are, in fact, sharing a lot of information with our patients in these shared groups and shared support groups where we learn constantly as to what works, what doesn't work.
Let me ask about, we had a caller come through, and I should mention 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation today, 800-222-9455. Stephen in the Quad Cities didn't want to hang on the line, didn't want to go on air, but did say he is seeing a neurologist about nerve damage and wasn't sure about the effects of COVID, but was told we're not researching nerve damage anymore. Said that he's not anti-vaccine, I should be clear about that, but said he started experiencing nerve tingling after some of the vaccines. It's cleared up a bit. And just wondering if either of the physicians on our panel today would have anything to say about that. And of course, I guess I should put in the disclaimer, this is not a substitute for talking to your personal doctor. But Dr. Casper, maybe I'll begin with you on that question.
Yeah, so certainly with patient surveys and data collection, the reported incidence of long COVID symptoms has seemed to decline over the 4 years of the pandemic. And so we want to attribute that to probably two things. So the first thing would be increasing vaccination rate. So individuals that have been vaccinated and are up to date to some degree on booster and the current newer vaccine are having less rates of reporting long COVID symptoms. So vaccination, as a discussion on many topics with COVID, does yield a lower likelihood of developing long COVID symptoms. But secondly, the strain of the virus has changed multiple times over these last 4 years, and it appears that the current strains, at least by retrospective analysis, seem to be yielding less long COVID than strains we saw earlier on in infection. And so while there are individual responses to vaccine and people do need to discuss if they've had any issue with vaccine with their medical provider, as a blanket statement, remaining up to date on vaccination does yield the person less risk of developing long COVID symptoms.
All right, we are going to take a break. We will continue this conversation when we come back. We are talking about the experiences of people with long COVID, where symptoms can continue for weeks or months or now even years after initial infection. We're still learning a lot about this disease 4 years into the pandemic. We're talking with Dr. Douglas Casper from OSF Healthcare and the University of Illinois Chicago College of Medicine in Peoria, Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, Chief of Infectious Diseases at SIU School of Medicine in Springfield, and two of Dr. Sundaresan's patients at the SIU School of Medicine's post-COVID clinic. David is from Springfield and also Pam from Springfield. If you want to join our conversation today, 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. More to come here on the 21st Show after a short break. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the disease formerly known as post-acute sequelae of COVID-19. It's more commonly referred to as long COVID. It's one of the harshest effects that people have experienced in this pandemic, which is going on 4 years now since we had the initial stay-at-home orders here in Illinois. We are talking about this with Dr. Douglas Casper with OSF Healthcare, an infectious disease specialist there, also a professor of clinical medicine at the UIC College of Medicine in Peoria. Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, who is another infectious disease doctor, actually chief of infectious diseases at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield, medical advisor to the Sangamon County Department of Public Health, and also two patients, David and Pam. Both have experienced long COVID, both in Springfield. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455. Pam, you mentioned before the break some of the fatigue you've experienced. You mentioned you had been to Africa. Can you, to the extent you're comfortable sharing the details, how did this change your sort of the way you live your life, what you can do every day, how you spend your time?
Well, early on, it significantly impaired what I could do. I had to drop to part-time. I found I couldn't work all day anymore. I had to cancel a lot of trips that I had planned locally to visit relatives and things because I just didn't have the energy to be able to do it anymore. Fortunately, that has been gradually getting better, but it still comes in waves. Like David was describing, you can feel better for a few days or sometimes a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden you crash again. So I've cut back on a lot of activities. I seldom do anything outside my work routine because I get home and just collapse after even a half day of work.
David, what about you? Again, to the extent you're comfortable sharing, what sort of things would you have done without thinking twice before this experience that now are challenging, if not impossible?
I've always been very active. I've been a long distance runner since I was a teenager. I've done 15 marathons, including the Boston Marathon. So this really, you know, was very difficult for me. I mean, I also rode my bike to work for 30 plus years. So, you know, I was used to being active, and just not being able to do that was very difficult. I have found, though, that, you know, and since mine's episodic, in the periods where I'm better for a few weeks, I'm slowly going back to running, you know, only three times a week, not five, and maybe only 12 miles total rather than 30 or so. But it really knocked me down. In terms of work, I actually had planned to retire around the time I got COVID. So I was lucky in a way, but, you know, I had planned on doing project work and, you know, working part time. And I just haven't been able to do that.
Let's go back to the phones at 800-222-9455. Ernie is calling from Peoria on line four. Ernie, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just caught this about, well, when it started, your program. I just been sitting here listening. I've got a 12-lead EKG test to do, but this is more important, I think, listening to you.
Well, I appreciate that. I understand you got COVID, were taken to the hospital for your case of COVID-19.
I caught COVID back in 2020. Actually, it was in Christmas, just before Christmas in 2019. And I had my on-call nurses that actually called the ambulance, took me to the hospital. I was unconscious, and that's January the 2nd. I physically died January the 7th. And they brought the doctor and the nurses brought me back to life. I spent 102 days in the hospital, and it's just been one nightmare after the other, because it attacked my respiratory system, took my right lung out, and now it's working on my left one. I'm on oxygen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I can hardly walk because of the pain and the confusion, the brain fog. It's attacking my kidney, my liver, my heart, and my brain. Things that I used to remember just off the top of my head, I have to stop and think about it. And like I said, it's just been one nightmare after another. And both doctors, my pulmonologist and my cardiologist, both told me I need to go home, get my affairs in order, because there's nothing else that they can do for me except keep me comfortable. And I told them, I said, I don't want to know how long I have to live. But I can tell you every day it gets shorter, because I used to be able to walk to the elevator of my home, in my apartment, and now I can only walk about 30 feet before I have to stop and rest. My back, my legs, my head. It's just, I mean, you wouldn't believe the pain.
Ernie, I'm so sorry you've experienced that, and I appreciate you calling in. Do you feel like the healthcare establishment has a handle on what you've experienced, or has that changed over the last few years?
I've got seven of the best doctors that I believe OSF and Peoria has. I would put them up against any doctor in the world. I have a doctor that she's my medical doctor. Her name is Lucinda Williams. She's probably one of the best doctors that I've had in the 75 years that I've been on this earth. And she does nothing but work on my behalf, trying to figure out what to do next. And I just can't praise her enough.
Sure. Well, Ernie, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experiences with us today. I do want to give our guests on the panel with us some chance to respond to that. And Dr. Casper, let me turn to you and ask, I guess, not a lot of hope in what we heard from Ernie there. I wonder, do you have patients who have, you know, had a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, who've turned a corner on this?
Yeah, there's a couple things to take away from Ernie's situation. And so the first one is that earlier on in COVID, when we had patients come in, especially with severe manifestations of infection like he did, part of the initial COVID diagnosis and sequela were potentially unmasking other conditions that may have been present and had gone undiagnosed up until that point. And so how we administer medical care in a primary care setting, advancements with telemedicine have really changed over the last 4 years. And so there were some trends that came out of COVID. Some of them were poor trends, like people were unable to get regular screening for mammograms or colonoscopies that have increased some of our cancer detection rates as a side impact of COVID. And with some people, we were diagnosing chronic conditions that they just may have not seen a physician for prior to the initial infection. And so the other part about his story is that people that had severe infection with COVID earlier on have been at higher risk of long COVID sequela. And so we talked before how receiving a vaccine seems to lower your risk, while severity of infection, at least initially, was associated with higher likelihood of chronic symptoms. And so that era, the pre-vaccine era, where we had patients where we did not have many therapeutics to offer them, those patients do seem to struggle more and for longer periods of time than patients in the post-vaccine initiation era.
You know, and you mentioned vaccines there. I'll say we did get another caller who didn't want to go on air. Diane from Rock City said she had COVID, started to experience hair loss. Wondered if you all had heard of this. Also mentioned, though, that she got the vaccines and the hair loss stopped. So Dr. Sundaresan, I guess I'll ask you, what has worked? What have you had patients who have experienced improvements from long COVID or maybe even a resolution of that?
Yeah, you know, we did see, in fact, 200 different symptoms or 200 plus different symptoms have been reported with long COVID. Hair loss was one of them. Initially, we saw a lot of people with the loss of smell and taste. And, you know, we're seeing that paradigm shift even with different variants. As the variants change, symptomatology changed as well. So now people presenting with post-COVID symptoms are a lot with neurologic symptoms, fatigue, sleep disturbances, GI disturbances. We hear a lot more of that. But with the hair loss and the sense of smell and taste being gone with COVID as a post-COVID symptom, that has been getting better for most people. And again, a plug for vaccination. Now we have studies with over 10 million people from multiple countries that show that vaccinations definitely are helpful in decreasing the symptoms, not only in adults, but also in children.
Just a couple of minutes left in our time together. David and Pam, I want to come back to you. David, you mentioned you're beginning to be in when you have these good periods, you can go out running again, be more active. What gives you hope in this at this time and through this experience?
There have definitely been improvements. We've all the people involved in our support group have had to make adjustments in our lives, and I think that has helped. But But yeah, some, you know, like the sleep, you know, a couple of years ago, I was sleeping 13, 14 hours a day. Now during the bad, you know, fatigue episodes, it's maybe 10 hours a day. So that's an improvement. You know, I've learned how to listen to my body, take breaks, do small projects, not big ones, improve my sleep habits. And even on the days I'm not feeling good, try to walk a couple miles. You know, some days I just can't do it. And another thing that's been important for me is music. You know, if I'm kind of depressed or whatever, not feeling good, I'll play the guitar or piano and sing. You know, some of those things have helped. And weirdly, I've been writing songs. In the periods when I feel better, I've started writing songs. So since I've had 27 episodes, I've now written 27 songs for family and friends.
Mm. I like that, the curative power of music. Pam, briefly, what about you? Do you have a source of hope in this time?
The thing that's been the most helpful to me has been the support group. Being able to talk with other people, hear their struggles, and talk with people who really understand what you're going through, and seeing the progress that's being made. One of our members was, hospitalized on ventilator and was really struggling early on, but has now reached the point where she's starting work full time. So hearing from other people and getting the support from the other people in the group has been, to me, a major benefit.
And Dr. just looking at my clock here. Dr. Casper, really briefly, maybe 20, 30 seconds, if somebody feels like they're experiencing this and hasn't been able to get the help they need, we have listeners across the state, what advice would you give briefly about seeking out that care?
Yeah, discuss with your medical provider. There are multiple clinics across the state focused on long COVID. Dr. Sundaration's clinic in Springfield, multiple clinics in the Chicagoland area. There are places that you can be referred for continued workup and treatment and evaluation.
All right, Dr. Douglas Casper at OSF Healthcare in Peoria, Dr. Vithya Sundaration with the SAU School of Medicine in Springfield, as well as David and Pam, and also Ernie, who called in, and Lynn and Diane, and everyone else who participated in our program today. Thank you all so much for being with us and sharing your experiences with us today on The 21st Show. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will be back with you again tomorrow.